I feel young already. 92, I'm doing pretty good for that. Wow. You love Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Well, I got a word for you today I think is going to challenge us. How many of you have problems once in a while? Not that you're old. You just do that once in a while. You will forget something. Let me see your hands. Oh, yes. Okay. This is a word for you today. Because we all do that. We all have things to do, places to go, and things to happen in our life. And a lot of times we misplace it or we'll forget about it. And especially that's bad when it pertains to the Word of God. That we forget sometimes who we are in Christ. That we forget what the Holy Ghost said to us and how He said it. Because I have learned through the years when God speaks to me, He speaks in a real simple thing that I can really understand. Now, I can take that and not do it, and I can really get it confused. Anybody else does that? And it's like you didn't do what He told you to do. You've already changed some of it. You didn't do it exactly like He asked you to do that. And I've had that tendency in my life before because I want to do it my way. How many of you have that problem too once in a while? You just don't want to do it God's way. You want to do it your way because you think that you can do it. And the Bible says don't do those things. It says casting down imaginations, and that's reasonings. Because if you don't, they will exalt themselves before God. Amen? So I want to make sure that I'm listening, that I'm doing exactly what He wants to be done. And if I do, then I will be blessed, and He will be happy, and we will all live happily ever after. Does that sound like a tune that you've sang before? So that's what I want to do today. I want to bring you to that place. And I want you to stop and think about where you were when Jesus called you. Because that's what it's going to be about today. And Jesus said those profound words. He said, come and follow me. So all it took was three words. Tax collectors immediately folded their books, put their money on the side, and started walking toward Jesus. When He walked to the boat where Peter and his buddies were, He said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they put the nets in the boat, let the sail down, and started following Jesus. They left all that they had to follow just by three words. And this is basically before He really started doing the miracles and the marvelous things that He did. But He told them, He said, come and follow me. I'll never forget that night that Jesus called me in that hospital when I was blind and didn't have any hope. And I know many of you heard this before. I'm not going to go into detail, but I'll never forget when He said, come and follow me. And I rolled out of that bed and took all those drips out of my arms and said, Jesus, come in and I'll go with you. Wherever you want me to go, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will say what you want me to say, and I will do exactly what you want me to do. To the best of my ability. Jesus, would you help me? And not only did God save me from an eternal hell and gave me an eternal heaven to go to, but He also healed my physical eye that I was blind in for 9 solid months and couldn't see nothing. And then I could see. But you know what the greatest miracle was in that whole thing? Was God opened my spiritual eyes that I could see Him. Y'all getting what I'm saying? You see, and another thing is He opened my ears that I could hear His voice. Do you understand? Jesus said, come and follow me to a lot of people. A lot of them. The Bible says that multitudes followed Jesus everywhere He went. They were there before He ever got there sometimes. If they knew He was going to a place, they took the time and they got their effort and they got there as quickly as possible. Because they wanted to see Him. They wanted to do what he was going to do. But very few of them heeded the call. The same words that come out of His mouth that says, come and follow me. One day, and we celebrated that last week with Palm Sunday. Well, that was Easter. That was born before that was Palm Sunday. But they were waving palm branches at Him. And the next day they were hollering, crucify Him, crucify Him. Are y'all getting where I'm going here? You see, because when it comes to a place of a call on your life, it's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to be a place where God is going to come and He's going to call you and He's going to open your ears and your eyes and you can see and hear where He's taking you. And you will hear that still small voice sometimes that God's speaking to you in the middle of the night or when you're sitting at a red light or when you meet somebody in the hall and He says, tell them about me. or somebody at the grocery store, you're sitting there just trying to get your chocolate bar to get out of there, and somebody comes up next to you and they start pouring their whole life out to you. Well, hello. It's more than a chocolate bar. It's about telling, helping this person. This is a divine connection, and he's calling us to do that. Are y'all still with me here? You see, he calls us all the time. It's not a one-time call. It's an everyday, every hour call that he's touching every one of us. But are we listening? Or do we want to wait till some great thing happens at a church or an assembly to go there and watch what's going on? I'm going to tell you what, I get excited when I go to revivals, big revivals where lots of people, where there's lots of healings, where there's lots of good music. I like that. I thrive on that. But I'm going to tell you what touches me more than anything is when I'm somewhere and somebody asks me, would you help me? I need a touch from God. My wife's leaving me. My kids are gone. I don't have a job. I need food. That's when I know that God really shows up. Because he says, if we will take care of those people, he says, lo, I am with you always. He is on the spot when that happens. And I want you to know, that's where he wants to bring this church to a place that we'll start hearing, we will start seeing, and we will start hearing exactly when he says, come, follow me. Come and join yourself to this person. Come and go tell this person that. Or come and go do whatever he tells you to do. That's where we're getting. That's what we're talking about is a call. The first thing he called was in, not the first, but this is one of them I put down, is Isaiah 1 and 18. He says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be, here they are right up here, huh? Yeah. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. Anybody ever been there before? You know, mine were. They were sloppy red. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. You know, I know the dirtiness of my sin. I know where I came from. I know how I lived. But I'm going to tell you something else. I know what it was like when he took me and he washed me in that precious blood. Amen? I know what it is. I know that I turned from blood red to snow white. Can you see it? Incline your ear and come. Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. That literally means when he's speaking, we need to shut up. We were at a meeting the other night, and it was a lot of excitement going on and a lot of talking and stuff. And the guy that whose house it was in is real soft-spoken, kind of quiet, kind of shy. But he was talking, and I was sitting there listening to him. And over on the other side of the room, they were just, you know, it's like a bunch of turkeys that got loose in there. And he is saying something that's really good. And I almost wanted to beat on something and say, y'all listen. He's saying something good. But they finally caught on to it and they quietened down. It's much like when we do announcements in here. I know, we better move on. But anyway, it was like somebody's saying something. Listen to what he's saying. And sometimes we don't hear Jesus because we're talking too much. We're doing something else. It's good. It's a proper thing to do. It's just at the wrong time. Because I've learned when the master speaks, everybody listens. And he is not J.F. Hutton or whoever that guy used to be. He's Jesus. Amen. When Jesus begins to speak, we need to stop and get in reverence and say, yes, Lord, what are you saying? Because I know when he's saying something, he's going to instruct us in doing something. He's going to bless us and he's going to show us how to do something great because he told us that we would do that. Amen. So we need to listen, incline. Matthew 19, it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you might sit here today and say, well, I'm not a fisherman. Well, big deal. You do something in this life. And whatever it is that you do, the giftings that God has put in your life is going to be your fishing trip. Whether it's baking cakes, whether it's writing some poems or whatever it is. We got a couple of ladies in our church. And I'm going to tell you what, some of the most magnificent things I had ever heard, they'll write it on a card, a thank you card, and give it to you. And it is so expedient that you get those sometimes. Sometimes I'll be down and out or just lacking a little vision, lacking a little joy. And I'll get a card from one of these ladies. And I'm going to tell you what, it's so uplifting to realize, hey, they're hearing from God. They're using their talent, their gifting, and they're blessing other people. And it's as good as sitting, having a prophet come and prophesying over you, thus saith the Lord. That's good and that's great. But I'm going to tell you what, sometimes you just need to sit and read a card in the quietness. and let God just speak to you and let that thing just marinate in your heart. Amen? Because it's God speaking to us. And we need to recognize those things when they come around. The invitation is John 3:16. You say, well, I don't know. When did you get that call? See, that used to confuse me when I first became a Christian. Everybody was says, what kind of call do you have on your life? Did you get a great vision? Did God visit you? Did you get a letter? Did you see something? And it's like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. The only call I know is one day I knew I was lost and I needed a Savior, and I asked Him to save me, and He said, come and follow me. Now, if you want to, you know, get that confusing to me, you can try to put something else in there. But as far as I know, as simple as I am, that's all the call I need. Just follow Him. When He says go somewhere, just take off and go. Just whatever He says do, you do it. Is that right? Am I right, Brother Terry? I didn't have to wait for the skies to open up or hear great visions or anything. All I needed to do was hear from God. And I heard. And then I realized the gifts that was in my life, and I started using them, or let Him use the gifts in my life. And I still do. And the more I give away, the more comes back. I'm amazed at the things that I'm learning even now at 68 years old that I didn't think I would ever do in my life. But it's coming to me, and I'm beginning to do that. And it's not me, it's God. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because if we will listen to Him, He will give us great things. John 8:12, He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, when you're called of God, you have the light of God in your life. You are a witness. People will see that in your life. When people see you, they will see that radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. I've shared this 100 times before, but it's nothing like a brand new Christian that comes to this altar or wherever it is that you lead them to the Lord. And they so just beat down and just horrible looking, not only physically, but spiritually. And when they invite Jesus Christ into their life, immediately there's like a flushness that comes into their life. There's a brightness that comes on their life. There's a joy that they don't even understand inside of them, because God is changing them from the inside out. And there's a radiance about those people, because that is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He says, come and follow me, He's standing there with one hand leading you, and He's standing there with the switch, and He's going to flip on the light in your life if you'll let Him. The sad part about it is too many Christians have forgot about the light, and they have let the light go dim. And the world even recognizes that. They will tell you of Christians, it's like, what is wrong with that dude? What is wrong? What kind of problem are they going through? Don't they go to your church? Don't they do this? Aren't they supposed to be? That's heart-rending. And I know the world judges us and does things. We judge one another too bad sometimes. But they are right about some things, and they recognize the light has gone off. Because I'm going to tell you what, not only does God turn the light on, the devil recognizes that light. And if you will let that light shine bright enough in your life, everywhere you go, the cockroaches will leave. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I can go out in my shop where I build cars sometimes, and I hadn't been out there in 3 or 4 days, and I can go out there and open that door and flip that light on, and you can see them scurrying around. And I call Janice, my roach patrol lady. She comes with her little spray bottle, and she'll spray. And you go out there a couple of days later, and they all belly up, praising God before they died. I'm sure that's why they flip over. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. John 1, it says, come and see. The disciples would see Jesus. They would answer that call when He says, come follow me. Immediately they would go tell somebody, you got to come see. Man, he's in our city. He's touching people. Man, I saw blinded eyes open. I saw down the street this man was sick, and he touched him and he healed him. He was going about doing miracles. Man, he went to a wedding one day. Man, the wine was flowing and it all went dry. And Jesus spoke to him, said, go get some jars and bring it back. And you know what? It turned it into the best wine. There's something about this Jesus. You got to come and see. How many times have you done that lately? Have you told them about this Jesus that we're talking about? Come and see Jesus. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Come and see him. Let me tell you what he's done for my neighbor. Look, he's took this old wine drinker and turned it into a Sunday school teacher. There's a cause. Every time there's a call on your life, there's a cause that comes with it. And it's causing to come up just a second here. Here it is. Okay, put those scriptures up there if you would. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king then? Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born." Now y'all listen to this. Let me just insert this. Are we the children of God? Are we supposed to be followers of Jesus? The works that he said that he would do, we would do greater works. He said he would anoint us with the Holy Ghost. We're his children. And everything about that, we're in the family. Y'all with me? He says, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Now that one verse right there says that I should bear witness of the truth. That's your job. That's my job. Because Jesus is not here anymore. That means that he has passed that on to us, and we're to tell a lost and dying world, Jesus Christ, just like Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what our job is to do, is to take that truth to a lost and dying world. That is our cause. I didn't come to work at this church because I needed a job. I came to this church to work because one thing Brother Terry made me come. Not really. The first thing I did was see the cause. They need somebody to work. Brother Terry told me he needed a pastor. He was a teacher. He wanted a pastor. And it's like, well, do both, brother. I mean, there's five ministries. If you do those two, then you can take good care of this. And you can leave me out. Let's let me work. Let me do what I'm doing. But there was something that God put inside of me that whole year that he gave me time to pray and seek God about whether I should come on staff here. And I'm going to tell you what burned in my heart more than anything was that cause. That cause. Because our church had gone through a number of times it was hurting. People were suffering here at our church. A lot of confusion. A lot of things that was going on. And that cause began to burn in my heart. And it's like, God, if you can use me to heal part of that healing that needs to happen in the church, then I'm willing to give it all up. I'll quit everything that I got. I'll answer that call, and I'll take up the cause, and I'll come. Well, I want you to know that's been 24 years ago, and I still feel that cause once in a while. Because we're still not where God really wants us to be. He's bringing us there. We got a great church, by the way. If you had to put it on a scale from 1 to 100, I think we'd probably be about a 98. But we're still human beings, and we still have problems once in a while. But I'm going to tell you what, that cause is still inside of me. Amen? Then the next scripture, it says, "But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause." I committed my cause to the Lord. And he sent me to Victory Harvest Church to be on staff as a pastor. And until he takes me out of here, that cause is still going to burn, and it's still going to do what I need to do to do my part of what's here. I got an allotment of things that I'm expected to do, and I do them. I try to do them all the time. I hope I do them, unless you're going to fire me Monday, but I may not do it this weekend. But nevertheless, that cause is there. I have a cause to be here, and so do you. And if we all come to that place and say, I'm here because there's a cause, and if there's a cause, I need to see it fulfilled in my lifetime. I need to be a very vital part of doing that. You know, I made a statement in a church one time. I've never been back. They never invited me to come back. But I made a statement to where, you know, if God is not using you in this church, you're in the wrong church. And then I forgot what else I was saying, and I moved on. Well, I didn't really mean it that way. I meant was go find something in this church to go do. But it struck the key of a lot of them. And by the way, if I said it here, if you're not doing something in this church, maybe you're in the wrong church. Now I know I'm going to get fired. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because it takes all of us. You know, we have a work day. It's a shining example when we do the maintenance on the cars of the women. And we clean up around the church and we do things. Well, when we got five or six guys here, we usually come early, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. We're out of here about 3 o'clock. But when we got 14 and 15 men and women that come here, and sometimes 20, 25, we're gone by 10 o'clock. We're home. Now, you know why that happens like that? Because more people come in to help and to do something. Now, that is in the natural, and if we can do that in the natural, just think how much more powerful it would be if we were doing something in the spiritual realm. If we said we was going to have a revival, we're fixing to do the thing about the Titanic's coming up. What would happen if we all got involved in it? Even if you wasn't here to move props around or set mics and microphones or be an actor in it, you were just here praying. You were back there in that room on your knees before God praying and pleading God's the cause for the lost and dying of this world. I'm going to tell you what, this church would fill up. It would take every one of us to take care of the altar down here. All right, moving right along. The cost. There's a cost that goes with everything that we do. Jesus said this. He said this in Luke 14. It says, a man went out to build a tower. And he says, but you need to stop and you need to think about the cost before you start building. How many of you have ever built something and it's like, wow, I'm so excited about building this new house and whatever. And you took off with the money that you have. And you know as well as I do, whatever you build is going to be 25% more. But we don't put that down because it would discourage us. So we don't put that down, but when we get through building the house, then we realize I am 25% over what I'm supposed to be. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yeah, a few of us. Well, it happens, but there's a cost to it. And before we start building something, we need to count the cost. And I've learned before I will commit to something, I'm going to think about it long term and say, am I going to really be able to fulfill this thing further down the road than what I'm doing right now? I mean, I committed one time to marry Janice. And by the way, we're fixing to have our anniversary, 50 years, May 31st, you know. But I committed to marry her. But I got to thinking about it. It's like, if I marry her, this is not a 30-day program I'm on. This is not a two-year program that I'm on. And y'all laughing, but I'm going to tell you what, people get married today and that's the way their commitment level goes. If it don't work out, I'll just move on to somebody else. But I looked at her, and she got my eyes so strong, and my heart was so pulled toward her, I said, this is forever. And it was hell for the first 10 years. I'm just being honest with you, because I was not a Christian, and she was. And I did everything that I could, not knowing, out of just spiritual ignorance, to drag her down to my level. And thank God he got a hold to me and turned me around. And then I started the other way. Amen? I was telling a couple. Yeah, give God the glory. He deserves it. He's the only one that made it work. He's the only one. Him and my mother-in-law made it happen. And I wish I had time to tell you about my mother-in-law because I'll never have one bad thing to say about that woman. Never in my life. She was the best woman I think I have ever met in my life. And she wouldn't even let Janice and I date. She didn't even go to our, we got married. We didn't have a wedding. We got married, but she didn't even show up. But she brought me breakfast in bed at her house the next morning and said, here, she told Janice, she said, this isn't for you, this is for Kenny. And I'm sitting there and just like, wow, nobody really ever did that to me. And then that thought hit me, maybe it's poisoned. And I told Janice, I said, you need to eat with me. I think our vows went until death do us part. If we're going to go, we're going to go together. You know? But I ate it, and it was good. But that was a good woman. She was a very good woman. But she was committed to our marriage and helped us through a lot of stuff. And I want to just thank God for that. Building the tower, cost of discipleship. Jesus said, let a man deny himself and take up his cross. You know, so many times we find Christians that don't want to deny themselves. They don't want to do that. It's like it's too much trouble. If I deny myself, then I won't have the time to do what I want to do. And I won't be able to do what my visions are. And me. Jesus says that we don't even belong to ourselves. That we've been bought with a great price. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We're not even our own. I mean, the first thing we need to do is ask Him, what do you want me to do? And then if He don't have something for you to do, then go out and please yourself. Go find you something to do to be happy. But I have learned that I don't need to do that. Because I have learned that if I will do what God wants me to do first, He will have plenty of time for me to go and have for myself. It never fails when I do that. It always comes to pass. When you do good and you suffer, like Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Here's Joseph. He's on a journey. He's got a dream. He knows God's got a plan in his life. And he goes and gets a job basically at Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife comes on to him, says he tore the coat off. And you know the story. I mean, there was a lot going on there. And Joseph got thrown in prison for 2 years for doing a good thing. Now, Jesus also said, you go out and you tell the Apostle Paul what things he's going to suffer when he follows me. Now, how many want to sign up for the Paul's ministry? You know, that you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to go through great turmoil, great shipwreck, great snake bites, all the things that he went through. You're going to get on his ministry list? Then go ahead and sign up. But by the way, it doesn't matter because your list may be worse than his, but God's still going to see you through just like he did Paul. Amen? But there's a cost to do it. We need to look at that because I've seen people that says, oh, I want to get involved in the ministry. I got to get involved because I think this is just me. This is my thing, and I just know I can excel at it. And they start in it, and it's not 2 weeks, and they're ready to bail out of it and go somewhere else and do something else because they were not committed to it. You got to be committed to the things of God to make it work. There is a cost to every one of them. John 12:26, it says, if anyone, listen to this, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him will my Father honor. And if we want to live a life that's going to bring God the glory and God the esteem that's rightfully His, we're going to have to follow Him and we're going to have to serve Him. Amen? There's a cost that goes with it. All right, there's another one called the choices. And you remember the plow. The Bible says anybody having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not even fit for the kingdom of God. That means that there's work to do. A plow, how many of you know what a plow is? When I was a little kid, we were on a farm. We used to milk 60 cows every morning at 3 o'clock. We would get up and we would go milk these cows. And they didn't have milking machines. This was your milking machine right here. You had a three-legged stool. You had two hands. And you had some kickers that you used to put on the back of these cows to keep them from kicking the bucket open. And when you go put that little porcelain bucket under their bag, you would sit on that three-legged stool and you would sit there. Every now and then the cat would come in, you'd, you know, shoot him a little milk and just keep on going. And you did 60 cows every morning at 3 o'clock. And then you had to go do what else you was going to do, probably plant corn or whatever you was doing. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you got to do that whole thing all over again. I hate farming. Venture to say, every time I see a half a gallon of milk in the store, I turn and leave. I go get a Dr. Pepper and just put it down fast as I can. It's like I don't like milk. I don't drink milk. I'll eat a malt or I'll do something like that, but I don't like milk because I made the wrong choice. I didn't have a choice. My daddy was a farmer, so it got to be me. And it's like I learned when I was 10 years old, this is not what I want to do the rest of my life. I have seen the rear end of too many cows. I have chased them out the barn and in the barn, and I do not want to do this the rest of my life. Remember the pillar of salt. Remember God told them, leave the city. You're leaving. You got to go from here. And they started, Lot and his children and Lot's wife. They start up the hill, and as they go, you know the story. They're running along, and Lot's wife remembered, oh, the mall. And Sodom was really good. Man, they had some cute clothes over there. And I have a lot of good friends that was over there. And oh, I don't know if I want to go up on this barren mountain running from a city that somebody says is going to be burned. I don't know if I want to go. And she turned around and turned into a pillar of salt. She loved Lot. She loved Sodom a lot. But she loved Sodom a lot more than she loved Lot. And she loved Sodom a lot more than she loved God. And she missed out on it. And that tells me, because she was of a chosen generation, that she had no business to be looking back. And neither do we. There's a scary thing right now to see Christians that have been Christians 10, 15 years and already start looking back to Egypt because they thought Egypt was a good place. It's like, oh man, let's go party. Let's go have girls' night out. Let's go have guys' nights out. Let's go do something. Man, we're just hanging together. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not out there looking for the girls. We're not out there looking for the men. We're just hanging together. Let's just go shopping. Getting quiet in here. And then one thing begins to lead to another. And the first thing you know, one of them has stepped over the line. And now they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And then we got on the divorce courts, another family shot. Another husband gone. Another wife gone. Two or three little kids praying that their mom and dad would come back together. What happened to us? Why did we get hurt in that? And by the way, the children always are the ones that get hurt in every divorce. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm not preaching cereal here today. We're talking about meat and potatoes, but we're also talking about something that's real. And it's time for the church to make a stand and say, let's do it together. Let's make the right choices and let's do what we got to do. Because another thing it says in Mark 10, let's see if we can get that one up here. Mark 10, you got that one? Under choices. Don't you appreciate this right here? Isn't this good? Don't they do a great job in the back? Right? Thank y'all guys. Y'all do a good job at that. You don't have that one. Okay. But anyway, it talks about faithfulness being rewarded by the Father. And I have learned that every time I am faithful to God, He is always faithful to me. He will always give me everything that He promised to do. He's told us that through the past. He said, if you do these things, the curse will be on you. If you do these things, the blessings will be on you. And I've tried to make sure that I'm on the right channel everywhere I go, because I would rather have the reward of the faithfulness than I had be on the one that's got a curse on it. Amen? There was two thieves that had the same choice that you and I have. Two of them. You know, Jesus is hanging on the cross between two of them. And they're reviling Him, just cursing Him and saying, if you were the Son of God, you'd get yourself down. Why are you up here? Do it. I mean, they just were horrible to Him. And then they were horrible to one another. But one of them finally opened his eyes enough to realize this man between us has done nothing. What you and I have done, we deserve to be up here. And it doesn't say anything about him repenting. He just said it. And if you said it and Jesus is between you and that person over there, guess who gets to hear it first? And that's Jesus. And I got a feeling when Jesus heard that, when he admitted his sin and his wrong, even though it does not say, he said, Lord, would you forgive me? The only thing he said, he made a choice. He said, Father, or Jesus, he said, would you remember me? Just remember me when you go in your kingdom. I don't want much. Just remember me a little bit. But then there's one on the other cross that sat over there and cursed him until he lost his last breath. And you see that today in this world that we're living in, because everybody has got to make a choice. And whether they're hanging on a tree on either side of Jesus, it doesn't matter. But they still have to make the same choice. You're either going to choose him or you're going to reject him. Amen? But when we make the right choice, then we'll see what God's got for us. The next part of it is commissioned. This part right here is something that we need to get ingrained in our lives, because we have a job to do. It's not the pastor's and the staff's job to go out and win a lost and dying world. Whose job is it? It's the church's job. We're to instruct, we're to help, we're to teach, we're to guide, we're to do whatever it needs to get you to go. Now, we do need to go with you. We do go that way. You know, we try to do ministry here. We got, you know, Ben and Jen and Kirby, they go out to the poor people on Florida Boulevard. I go out in South Baton Rouge to the rich people. But you know what I found? They both need God. It doesn't matter where you live, what you do, people need God. And it is a blessing to go out there and talk to people that make six figures sometimes and tell them about Jesus. Because they will go to hell just as quick as one has got $1. It doesn't matter. God is not a respecter of color, creed, race. It doesn't matter. He died on a cross for everybody. And that tells me that if I can go do that, then you can go do that. We can go to the poor. We can go to the rich. But we need to go somewhere. That's what the Great Commission is all about. And that word says go. And that literally means as you are going. Every one of us are going to go somewhere this afternoon. Every one of us are going to go somewhere tomorrow morning. And every one of us can bring the good news to somebody out there. And this is what he says. He says, go therefore and make disciples. See, it is a blessing not only to share Christ with somebody, to get that person saved, but then to pull that person into your life and begin to share with them what God can do. And watch them begin to crawl in the Spirit. Watch them begin to walk in the Spirit. Watch them that day that they pulled up on the coffee table and they were just barely hanging on. And they fell over and boom, bumped their head. And it's okay, honey, get up. Let's go. You pick them up again and you go. It's just like raising little children in this, but you do it with people in the Lord. And you got to do that. That's our job, every one of us. That's why God created us, was to multiply and replenish the earth. Not only physically, but spiritually. That is our seed. You know that God gave you a seed. And let me boil it down to this. This is not on my notes, but I don't want to get this wrong. But the way I figure this thing, God created us for two things. First of all, was to worship and adore Him. Is that right? The second one was to multiply. Have other seed like yourself. Replenish the earth with more of little Kennys or little who's ever. That's two things that we're on the face of the earth for. Now, the rest of it don't matter. He never said go out and find a big job. He never said go out and get rich. He never said go out and try to maintain everybody else's business. He said, I'm creating you for two things. One, to worship me and adore me. The second one is to replenish the face of the earth. Is that right? So that pretty well boils it down to where it's simple enough where we can all understand it. Well, in the spiritual part, he comes along and he says, I'm going to give you sex for two things. One is to enjoy it. The second part of that is to multiply your seed. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So that tells me that I got seed, spiritual seed, in my loins that I need to reproduce. Now, the natural part of me is not going to happen. And it's definitely not going to happen with Janice. You know? I mean, if it is, I mean, God is going to have to intercede here. I mean, this is going to be talked about an Abraham and Sarah situation. And I believe in miracles, but that's one that I'm praying, God, please don't. I'd rather have grandkids. Let somebody just bring a kid over and let us raise them, do something. We don't need one over here all the time, you know. But I do have spiritual seed that I'm trying to plant somewhere. I'm trying to reproduce myself in you that you can reproduce yourself in someone else. Amen? But that means they're going to have to be taken care of when they come into the kingdom. And that's our job, too, to feed them, to change them, to teach them how to walk, teach them how to talk, teach them how to do the things of God. That's what discipleship is all about. Amen? That's where we're going with this. In Mark 16, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe me. That same word, he said, follow me. He says, the same thing's going to happen when you follow me is going to happen in your life. I like that. One of the things that Jesus talked about was the sower of the seeds. He said he took seed. He took those, let's say the spiritual loin seeds that's in him. He took them, which, by the way, that seed is the Word of God. And how many of you know that this produces much fruit if we use it? If we leave it on the table and it doesn't get dusted and wiped off, it's of no use. But if we take it and we insert it into our spirit man, and we begin to take this seed and we begin to spread this seed everywhere we go, this is what happens. He said, as they took the seed, some of it fell on the wayside. He was casting seed on the wayside. Some of it fell on rocky ground. Some of it fell on thorns and thistles, and it got in there. And then some of it fell on good ground. And he didn't say, just go put it on the rocky soil or the wayside. He said, just cast the seed. Let it go where it will. That means whosoever will, let him hear the seed. Every now and then you may throw some seed and it may hit some fallow ground. And that fallow ground literally means that it's been plowed up. There's a hunger. There's a thirst in there that somebody says, I need God, but I don't know how to get to him. And you take that seed and you throw that seed and it goes and lodges in his heart. Not on stony ground, not on thorns, but it lodges on fallow ground. And that person says, wow, I have just found an avenue to get to God. I know how to do it now. Now I see an example. I see somebody that loves God, and somebody planted that seed in my heart. And now I think I can follow somebody that will help me get where I need to go. Because you see, everything that we do has a destiny to do with it. And if we leave that destiny part out and just say, que sera, sera, let them get it the best way they can, then we've missed it. We have to come to that place, and I think it was William Booth with the Saints, the Salvation Army. I don't know if you ever saw that vision, but he was standing there seeing these people drowning in an ocean. Drowning, one after another after another. We watched that film the other night about a guy that was a pilot that was supposed to pilot that plane, Flight 11, that crashed at 9/11 that year that it happened. And somebody took his place, so he didn't get to go fly that plane, and the guy that took his place was killed in that crash. But I was sitting, I'll never forget about this, because the day that 9/11 came, I came in the office in the back, and everybody was sitting there saying, what's going on? What's going on? And I didn't know, because I have a friend that works at Comed in the maintenance department. I went to see him before I got here, and I walked in their little office in the maintenance saying they had a TV on in there, and I looked in the towers. The plane had already hit one of the towers and it was falling. So here I am, just cold off the street, just got out of bed, had my breakfast, and I'm looking at that, and he's not in the building anywhere. So I'm sitting there watching the TV, and it's like, man, what is this all about? Is this a movie he's watching or what? It's like, that almost looks real. And then I realize it is real. And then by that time, I still couldn't find him. The next thought was, what, maybe he got raptured. I might have missed a rapture. What's going on here? So I got in my car, and I ran to work, and I got here, and everybody was there. So we got a TV and rigged it all up in the office and got it going. And I'll never forget sitting there looking at those towers, and they were just crumbling from the top. And my heart began to burn, and it's like, oh, God. There's thousands of people dying, and we're sitting there watching them. God, I hope they got saved. God, I hope that they knew you before they were burned in that building. And it did something on the inside of me. And I guess that vision about William Booth just come back, and it's like, we're seeing it on a TV, color TV. We're watching thousands of people being melted, going to nothing, jumping out of buildings and screaming and chaos going on. And it's like, oh, God, I pray some of them were Christians. If they're not, then God let a Christian lead them to the Lord. Do you know that 9/11 happens every day? It's not a building that's crumbling. It may be your neighbor. It may be a family member. It may be somebody, but they're dying. And they're going to the same place that those did in the building. Some of them. Are y'all getting what I'm saying here? Because there are people dying around us all the time. We're fixing to go to a class reunion in another couple of weeks. And they were asking, who all was going to be there. And I got to thinking about it, and it's like, Janice and I'll be there, hopefully, if the Lord don't take one of us home or both of us before then. But I was thinking about all the friends that I went to school with. And they've been dying every year, one at a time, one at a time. And I look back, and that whole class that I was supposed to have graduated in is no longer there. Not one of them is still alive. I dropped out of school, and they stayed there. Now, they didn't die because they stayed in school. I didn't live because I dropped out. But what I'm saying is, it's been enough time to where they're all gone. And I look back, and every time I would talk to one of my sisters from Kentwood, did you know so-and-so passed away this week? Did you know that they were even sick? No, I didn't. Did you know that? Then I'd talk another day. Two or three more of them have died. I picked up the newspaper one day, and I look in there, and it was all kind of people. And it's like, wow, here's two people that I know in the obituary column. I mean, people are dying everywhere. But what are we doing as a church? What are we doing? Because we know. How many of you know people that have died this year? How many of you know people that might die? That tells me that I don't need to send you to somebody that I know. I need to go somewhere where I know somebody. And maybe I can lead them to the Lord. Amen? See, God has made this thing really easy for us because we can identify with those people. The character of Christ needs to be the utmost part in our life. The character of Christ. And you know what those three things were? They were concern, compassion, and care. And Jesus exemplified that with the Good Samaritan. The Bible says that this man who had been beaten and thrown into the ditch, basically to die, robbed, a thief got him and did all of that. And the Bible says that a certain priest came by, was going on his way to the church. He was going to a great meeting. He was going somewhere. And he saw the man over in the ditch, and he didn't even look. He just kept on going. He just saw him and kept going. Then it says a little bit later, a Levite came by, and he saw him. And he was concerned about him, like, what happened to you? Oh, you were robbed. Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. You have a good day. And he went about his way. But then there was a Samaritan that came by and saw him. And not only did he come by, he had compassion on him and he took care of him. Do you see the comparison, what Christ does? When he sees somebody, he's got care for him, he's got compassion, and then he takes care of those people. That's what he says when he says, follow me. Are you willing to meet a cause? Are you willing to count the cost? And you may be on your way to somewhere good, but I have a greater place for you to be right now. And it might be in a ditch with somebody, patching them up, putting them in your new car with blood dripping on them and bringing them to the doctor and taking care of them and paying their bill. I'll never forget one time we were in Holly Ridge. We went on a missions trip, Janice and I did one time, and another couple was with us, and we were driving down the road, and they went in one car, and me and the other guy was in another car, and we were just driving along, just thanking God that we were invited to give our testimonies and do what God wanted us to do. We pull up to a stop sign, and they had a big old deep ditch on the right side, and we're sitting there talking, and I looked over, and I saw this guy laying in that ditch way down at the bottom of it, and he was bleeding bad. And I said, stop the car, stop the car. So we stopped and we both got out and ran down this slippery bank because we had to go somewhere. So we were dressed up like we are. And it had rained like two or three days. And as soon as I stepped out of that car, I just started sliding down that ditch. And I fell on my behind and I'm going and now I'm making a big muddy mess. But I slid all the way to this guy. And I told Gary, I said, come on, help me get him up. Help me get him up. So we drug him back up to the top of the road and got him up there. And he says, what are y'all doing? Are y'all going to rob me too? And I said, no, we're not going to rob you. We're trying to help you. I said, just be calm. Are you hurt anywhere? He said, yeah, I'm hurting all over. So we got to talking to him and ministering to him, brought him and got him all fixed up, got him cleaned up. Well, we went back to church that night and they said, that guy y'all just found somebody saw us doing it. And they said, that guy y'all just found, he's the worst drunk we got in this whole town. Y'all took the time to go get him out of there? And it's like, yeah. The man was hurt. The man needed help. Well, guess what? That was on a Saturday night meeting they told us that. That Sunday morning, this guy came in, and I don't know where he come up with some clothes, but he had a coat that wouldn't come no further than right here. And he come walking up in that church, and he said, "I want to see those two men that stopped and helped me the other day." And it's like, uh-oh, man, we're going to have a lawsuit. I guess we done hurt him. I mean, you know how the devil tries to attack you. And I said, that was me and this brother here. He said, "I just want to come and tell y'all thank you." He said, "Y'all told me about Jesus." And he said, "I accepted Jesus." And he said, "I knew Jesus a long time ago, but," he said, "I got away from him. And I got the bottle in my life, and the bottle just about destroyed me." He said, "But I'm back." And he said, "Is there a keyboard in this place?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he's talking to us because we're the ones that helped him. And I looked at the pastor. I said, "Is it okay if he does what he does?" He said, "Yeah, let him go." So he went over to the keyboard, and he kind of started picking out a few things. And the next thing I know, he was singing Amazing Grace. And he was sharing his testimony with that place. And he said, "I was once lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was a drunk, but now God has set me free. Because I've come home." And I'm going to tell you what, that church has never, ever been the same again. But it takes somebody, and I'm glad I was part of it, that happened. We saw him, we cared for him, we had compassion on him, and we went and took care of him. Now, how many people are we going to do that? When Jesus says, "Come and follow me," are we going to do what he says? Or are we going to say, "I think I'll get somebody else. They may be a little bit more qualified than me." See, I've learned it doesn't take quantity. It just takes somebody that will just go and just say, "I'm here. God, use me to let me do what you want me to do." Amen? If the music team would come back, I want to do something here. If we could. We got time for that. While they're coming, I want to talk about the conclusion about following Jesus. Because he's the one that we're living for. Amen? He's the one that cares for us. He's the one that died on the cross for us. He's the one that gives us the ability to be what we are. Not only that, he gives us eternal life. One day there's a crown set up for each and every one of you to get what God wants to give you. Another thing is God will give you peace. If you're here today and you don't have the peace of God and you hadn't been following and doing what he wants you to do, he wants you to have that peace. And another thing is, it says, "My goodness and my mercy will follow you all the days of your life." I want the goodness and the mercy of God to follow me all the days of my life. Amen? Go ahead. He's the one that's calling. He's the one that's calling. Come and follow me. If you haven't done that, or if you've been slow about doing it, just make your way out in the aisle. You don't even need to come down here. Just get out there and just start walking and let faith become alive in your life. And let them sing this again. I want you to get out of the aisle. Just walk around the church. Say, "God, I want to follow you. God, I want to hear you. God, I want to hear your voice, Lord. I want to know when you say do something. I want to be a part of it. God, I want to have a compassion. I want to have a love for lost people, God. Help me, God, to do what you need me to do, Lord." Let them sing it. Come on, start walking it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you today, Lord God. We give you the glory, Lord God, the honor. Holy, holy, holy is thy name, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the call upon every life here today, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the cause that you've given us to do, Lord God. And we thank you for the cost, Lord God. Lord, we'll pay the price, Lord God. We'll sacrifice to serve and to love you, Lord God. And Lord, we'll take the commission, Lord God, and we'll go with it. We'll go with it, Lord God, and carry out your deeds that need to be done on the face of this earth. And Lord, one day we know that you'll call us home and you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, our heart's desire, Lord God, is to live in your will, Lord God, that everything that we do would be to bring glory and honor to you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a good hug. Thank you.